You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured this.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, my good buddy. I'm fine. Super fine, as a matter of fact. I'm so fine right now that Think on shit couldn't get me down. I feel like a million dollars, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. Bruce Schilt, he's up there. He just loaded his first stack of wood here. He's getting ready for the winter already.
Well, yeah,
I feel really good.
it's turning right now. It really is. That's a good thing. And I'm noticing in the chat room tonight, Marco, that the people in the Northeast and the people up north, like you just talked about, Bruce Schilt up there, it's starting to change. So you guys to the north, keep the eyes open, the ears to the ground. Our brethren, our hairy friends, call them what you like, are going to start to get on the move within the next 30 days. So it's now up to you folks to keep the ears to the ground, the eyes to the roads, and see what we got coming, because these things are going to start to move. Trust me, what it's all about. You know, I got to tell you, Marco Bill, I am so happy for what's going on in searching for Bigfoot's life right now. We're just going forward like we've never gone before. We're going to areas that it's going to be new to me and my team. We're going to be making an announcement next show. Mm-hmm. And our next show, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you straight up, is our anniversary show.
Yes, it is.
That's right. The people out there that said we weren't going to last 30 days, well, folks that's listening out there in the globe, this will be our fourth year. Count them. Four years, and we're still here. No matter what the naysayers have said, no matter what they've predicted, we are here and ready to rock and roll. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am so happy for what you've done, Marco Bill. You've kept us together. You've anchored us close to the ground. And without you each and every Wednesday, there would be no us. I thank you, my brother, from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you, Tom. And it's in a big, big hug and kiss and hugs and everything else goes out to all of our wonderful listeners, our teams of people around the United States. Actually, some of them around the world, really.
You bet.
You know, our little podcast goes out all over. And, good God, I can't believe there's about like 200 or 300 people in China that listen to this.
Oh, I know. You know, I was looking at where a lot of this stuff had originated. I can't believe in Italy and Germany, Switzerland.
Australia.
Oh, Malaysia. It's amazing, Marco, to see our listenership. What are we at now? Have we hit 5 million yet, you think? Well, ladies and gentlemen, seems that I lost my co-host. Well, let's try it out. Anyhow, let's do some shout-outs, okay? Steve Dismore is a little under the weather. Of course, we're waiting for AK Riley out there in Arizona to get back on the mend. Marco, are you still with us?
Hey, Pop, it's Alex. We can hear you fine. I think we lost Marco and who knows who else, but we're all listening to you.
Okay, good, good. I have no idea what happened to Marco, but ladies and gentlemen, the show continues on. And we got you there, so you act as the co-anchor with me. How's that?
That works for me.
Okay. Is Tyler from Nebraska on?
Tom, I'm here.
How are you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing good, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope everybody out in the Bigfoot world can hear us all. We got a little glitch. Hasn't been the first time. But we're going to continue on. I understand you got some links out there on our website. Ladies and gentlemen, get out there to BigfootLiveRadioShow.com. And Tyler from out in Nebraska, believe it or not, which we normally don't get many sightings out there, he sent us over some pictures, some links to, I guess you sent three of them over, huh, Tyler?
Yes, I did, Tom.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell us all about it?
Well, about a year ago, I went fishing with me and my brother. We went fishing on the Platte River out in central Nebraska. I was walking along the beach, and I came across these prints. And, you know, I'm like, you know, these couldn't be that, couldn't be Bigfoot, but you know, it caught me off guard because the fact that there were large barefoot prints out in the middle of nowhere. The nearest person was maybe 50 miles away at the very most, and I was in a pretty deserted area. So I took the pictures and basically hid them for about a year. And I showed you them, like, last week or so. And as you look at the pictures, one of the pictures has my fishing rod to give you a general idea of how large these feet are. Granted, they're not as big as the ones you found, Tom, but they are actually—they're pretty big, and they're pretty big.
Well, yeah, I did take a look at them. You're exactly right, Tyler, and we've got them up there for observation for everybody out there to take a look at, and I invite everybody around the world to take a look at them, give us their input, and tell us what they think. Marco, you finally back with us?
Yeah, I got sliced out.
Well, I was hoping that you didn't faint on me or something.
No. I got to connect a couple more here. You just go right on with what you're doing. I got to connect a couple more lines here.
Okay, good buddy.
You've been on the air the whole time.
I know we have. Alex has filled us all in. So has the people in the chat room.
Well, thank you.
Tyler, let me ask you something. What do you do for a living?
I am actually a soldier.
Oh, okay. What division?
Army.
Okay. How long you been in, son?
3 years.
3 years. What's your rank now?
I'm almost a sergeant. I passed the board, and I'm getting my sergeant rank in a little bit.
Let me ask you something, Tyler. I met a guy. I actually didn't meet the guy, but I met the girl. She was serving me breakfast, and she was telling me her husband, who was 21, I think, of age,
yeah.
21 years of age, and he was over there in Iraq, and she said he was getting $4,000 a month. Is that what they get paid now?
Yeah, if you got that right, I believe
he's corporal. Yeah. He was a corporal. He's only two striper.
Yeah. So that's about right. That's correct.
My gosh, I'm shocked. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hope they get that and then some. But I didn't know. You know, back in my days of Vietnam, if we were getting $112 a month. And, a warm bed and clothes on our back and three squares a day, I thought we were getting a lot. But can you imagine? $4,000 a two-striper. That's incredible.
Yep. Now, think about this, though. How far does $2,000 go?
Well put. I love that, Tyler. You're right. Yeah, I'll tell you. It cost us $25 a month to get all the groceries we wanted, okay? When today,
yep.
$25 doesn't even fill up a bag, I don't think. Does it? I didn't lose you, did I, Tyler?
No, I'm right here.
Okay, so it's all relative. I really believe that. So tell me what the weather is like over there in Nebraska right now.
Right now, it is just about a storm, but the storm hasn't reached us yet.
Yeah, because you know they're having problems over there in Texas and the South. You know, it's Hurricane Alley coming through down in that area. And I feel so sorry for all those people. I put up this news, and you know, there's hurricanes, there's thunderstorms hitting the whole nine yards, just like the East Coast with everything else that's going on down there. But you know, I got to tell you something. How'd you get turned on to us, Tyler?
Well, I was always interested in listening to Bigfoot calls. You know, I'm always on YouTube or on some kind of website listening to Bigfoot calls. And, you know, I'm like, you know, I was actually interested when I seen one of your interviews with Patterson.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to talk to him. And, what? One moment. Can you repeat that? I can't.
Well, yeah, apparently you're breaking up. Marco, what seems to be the problem?
What's the matter?
Well, apparently you're not listening. Don't got your ears on, good buddy?
No, I'm dialing in the other parts of this show, Tom.
Yeah, I know. I know you're very busy, Marco.
I'm sorry, what's up? I was off the air for a couple minutes dialing in.
Okay, well, we're having problems with Tyler here. Can you fix it somehow?
He's on.
I'm still here.
Okay, are you on now, Tyler? You okay?
Yep, I'm good now.
Okay, good. But there's a little echo there. You happen to have your radio on in the background there, or are you on speakerphone?
I'm just on a cell phone.
Okay, but are you on the speaker part of the phone or just a regular part of it?
Just a regular part.
Okay, all right, because we've got a little echo going on. No problem. Anyhow, so listen. You're in the Army. You just passed your boards for being a sergeant, which I'm proud of you. Thank you. That's really great. Are you married, single, what?
Still there.
I didn't catch.
I said, are you still there? I can't hear you.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Marco's out doing something else. I think he's going out to take a leak, if you want to know the truth. Either that or he takes
a leak. No, I'm on here, Tom.
On the bottle of that vino, you know. He loves that vino, Tyler.
Tyler, do you have a speakerphone on?
No, I do not.
Okay. It's just cutting in and out. That's what happened. You're okay, though. You're on the line. You're on the air.
All right.
Okay. So are you single or married, Tyler?
I'm going to get married. I got a fiance.
Well, good for you. Does she work?
Yes, she does.
Well, that's a good thing. Make sure that they work today. I got people writing me letters right now and said, why are you so mean? Not you, Tyler, me. And I'm wondering why they're saying such argumentative phrases and statements to me is because they're stupid, apparently. I don't know. Nevertheless, I'm glad that you got a hold of us, Tyler. And let's see what our crew and all of our people out there in the world think of the Prince, and we'll get you back on next week. And by the way, it's our anniversary. I don't know if you knew that. Did you hear me talk about that at the top of the hour, Tyler?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
Pretty amazing here. We've been on for 4 years. Can you imagine sustaining that long? 4 years. It just
that is pretty
big away. Yeah, well, yeah. They all said we wouldn't last a month. But we're still here. And you know what? We're here forever, and we're going to stay. Listen, Tyler, just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot of show ahead of us. And thank you so much for sharing your pitches, and we'll let you know what the people around the world say, okay?
Love you.
Our blessings. Go with our blessings. Be well, son.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, Tom, our next guest is William Barnes. He has not dialed in yet. He's having problems dialing in.
Okay, well, what do you want me to do?
Well, what we can do is we'll just go to our next guest, which is, well, our next guest isn't in there either. Wait, yes, hold on. Let me make sure. We'll go to Alex and Mitch. Wait. They're on.
Okie dokie. Okie dokie smoky. Stay away from that vino, though, Marco. It's reflects.
I don't do vino. I do the vodka. Vodka.
Oh, vodka. Okay. Well, stay away from the vodka. That's a trip and a half. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, it's cocktail time for Marco Bill. We got to make sure that he does it either way before the show or way after, because we get to lose him while we're doing our show. So anyhow, let's get out there to Arizona and let's talk to Mitch Waite and Alex. Alex, you there, son?
I sure am, Pop. How you doing?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, old Marco is doing that whatka time for him as it is right now, as you noticed.
The whatka?
Yep. Well, I don't know, son. I remember. What was it, the thing that you drank, Jim Beam or Johnny Walker or Jack Daniels? What is your drink of your choice?
That was the Java Bar, the cabin. I didn't touch that. That's a little over my head. I'll stay with a little light beer every now and then.
I got you. Okay, I understand. You and Mitch were out there in the brush for the last few days. Give us a synopsis. What went on?
We had a great time. We were up in the Canyon Creek area. And then down south of Young in the area we call the Hot Zone. We had someone you know with us, Scott Davis, a former AZ3 reporter and now freelance television journalist, and the producer and owner of Spectrum Media LTD, which is producing the new TV show Paranormal Matrix. They were both with us last weekend. And we had a great time. We showed them what we do. We did some sound calling, some wood knocking, some whooping a la Steve Dismore, and showed them the equipment we used, and we had a really good time.
Any response to any of your calls?
Actually, we got a lot of responses. Right off the bat, we had elk and coyotes going wild. I've never had so much success in that regard doing it, or I'd probably do it more often instead of, talking Steve into the thing. But we had one report that was something different, and Ken heard that. Ken said we had one answer that wasn't an elk or a deer. So we're going over the footage and to see if we got it recorded. I'm not sure if Mitch found that. I think it was one of the earlier pieces we got. So Mitch might have got his recordings to hear it, or Scott. Scott was recording everything that Mitch and I did. Mitch, catch the sound recording.
Oh, by the way, Mitch is here.
So let me ask you this. Was Scott impressed with what he saw and heard?
Well, I think it's up. You know, it's nothing that you hadn't showed us, I'm sure. So wasn't that we showed him anything really new, except for Mitch's command and some of his equipment that he put himself. I think he was impressed. He seemed really excited when we brought him out to do the calling and the talking. I think we got scared for a few minutes, and you know, that isn't hard to do when you're out in the woods at night. I was feeling a little jittery myself. So,
what time of the night did that all happen? Everybody was jittery.
We went out about 11 o'clock. For about an hour doing the caller, and we came back about one-ish. So,
okay, did he get a chance to see any of the lairs that Mitch Waite had found?
We actually showed him the first nest that we found. We showed him the very first nest that we have that we docked 2 years ago. So we did show him that. It didn't look like it did when we found it, but I was looking at some pictures today of that exact location.
Any prints at all?
Did you find any new prints? We found elk, deer, some Cotamundi tracks. New Bigfoot tracks or any actual Bigfoot evidence.
Okay, all right. Well, Mitch, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, loud and clear. How are you?
Oh, mean as ever.
I understand about the mean, as ever is the part. But nevertheless, what'd you think of Scott?
Say again?
What did you think of Scott Davis?
Oh, he's a good guy. I really liked him, took to him right away. Seemed to be just the opposite, too. He seemed to really enjoy us, too. We had a good time.
Is he going to do an episode on you guys?
I'm hoping so. We have a lot of information to give him, a lot of stuff to show him. He seemed fairly impressed.
Well, that's good. I'm glad
they
you
do,
that. I'm glad.
They do 5-10 minute episodes, Pop.
Uh-huh.
He sees us being a 10-minute episode, you know, more or less a two-parter.
You bet. Well, I'll tell you what, when he did the one on us, or a couple that he's done on us, it was the biggest that they ever had in AZ.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, they ran him a couple of times, not just once. Because of the demand of people that wanted to know more about it. You know what I mean?
Yep. He actually sent us those and showed them to us, and I was like, I play this on the TV channel all the time.
That's great. That's great. You know, our anniversary is coming up next week. 4 years. Can you believe that?
That's amazing. Are we going to have a special show for that anniversary edition?
We are. If I can get Marco Bill weaned off the booze bottle, maybe we can do a two-hour, and I'll just call him and talk to one of his girls and say, hey, look, threaten him. Make sure you don't give him any until he stays off the bottle.
No vodka till vodka.
Oh, Lord, you're too much, Marco. So what do you think about that, Marco? Do you want to do a two-hour?
We can try. We can try. I got to set it up, but we can do that. I'll do that tonight.
Yeah, why don't we do that? I mean, this is a milestone, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, 4 years, and everybody said we wouldn't last 30 days. We are the only real Bigfoot show out there. My gosh, this is... you know, and then, you know what we need to do? What do you think of this, Alex and Mitch? and all you other guys out there, let's do some suggestions on what you think you want to hear. We'll try to get everybody who's been on. You know, we'll get all the best of the best in the last 4 years and bring them back and ask them what they're doing, what's been going on in their areas. What do you think of that, fellas?
Steve, that would be a great
idea. Sounds like a good one. I think it's a great idea.
I think so, too. I mean, let's get it from the four corners of the nation. Let's get them up in Washington. Let's get them up there in Maine and in the
New
North.
New York.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get them down there in Florida, and let's get them out in California, Southern Cal, Mexico, and all in between there, Texas. And
Canada.
Alabama. Yeah, yeah. I mean, my gosh. We've traveled the four corners, for crying out loud. We haven't heard. Well, that just proves one thing, guys. I mean, let's stop and think about it. Not many real Bigfoot hunters get out there into the field and do what we do. I mean, I'm going to make an announcement next week. And let me tell you something. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to hear it. You've heard me insinuate what was coming down the pike. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Yours truly and his new team, the team of guys who are out, going to get out there. We're going to be out in the brush real soon. The old timers are going to be with me. The guys that didn't abandon and the ship and is there with us now and still there, they'll be out with us also. Get ready for one hell of an announcement a week from today on our anniversary day. I'm going to be making an announcement that's going to blow everybody away. And, oh, by the way, Lee Joyner, I'm going to be seeing you. Bill Green, we're going to be seeing you. Dan Allen, we're going to be seeing you. And all the people in between. And, by the way, it's October 9th, not October 8th, ladies and gentlemen. They all want to know when my birthday is. So that's when that is. But I'm going to tell you, big announcement a week from today. Be there or be square. So I got to tell you something, Mitch. I can't wait to really come out and see you. And if Scott Davis knows that I'm coming there, he'll be out there with bells on, number one. Number two, I'm sure that he'll do that episode with us. And I'll tell you something else. I hope by then, when we come out there, weather will have changed, the migrational path has already started, and we'll have a lot of action going on. There's been action going on, ladies and gentlemen, northeast to these guys where they're at. How far is Sholo and the White Mountains from you guys for the Mogollon area?
Well, actually, it's part of it. It's the eastern section.
Yeah, I know. So how far is it, though, miles?
Oh, okay. I'm probably 75 miles from Sholo.
Okay. And how far from the White Mountains?
About 80.
Okay. All right. You're talking an hour and a half away going through all those zigs and zags in that big mountain range up there, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you guys all get ready. Because like the temptation said, get ready because here I come. Me and my boys are going to be coming out. You'll all hear the announcement next week. And Bill Green,
out there with
Not Bigfoot Lives 2, the DVD. Although I met with somebody today, Bill Green, that
episode with us.
It's gonna make it happen.
Oh.
I don't know.
My voice, wasn't it?
It sounded like it.
It's not me, is it?
It could be. Is that William?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay, William. You're on next here. And Jan, I'm going to put you on at the last one.
That's fine.
Okay, who's that, Barnes?
Yeah, that's William.
Okay, well, listen, you guys stay on. Arizona team, stay on. Let's go out there and talk to William Barnes. William, how you been? Long time no hear.
Yeah, I've been kind of busy lately. Yeah, I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Well, I don't have enough arms and legs, but I'm doing it. We're making it happen. Listen, I remember when you were on our show, you had that elaborate scheme of things with the balloon and the infrared new devices and everything. Why don't you fill my audience in? Wait a minute. Before we do that, let's take a pause for the cause, and on the other side of the commercial, we'll bring you in, and you can tell us all about it. How's that, okay?
Yep, that'd be fine.
Hold on to your chairs, ladies and gentlemen. We're apt to get something really new for a change. Bill,
yep.
Let's pay some bills.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these sirens-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic.
And
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody
turned
around.
The hand
was
freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.
Right.
Searchingforbigfoot.com.
And Tom is back to you. And just a little note, that all this difficulty in the telephone at the beginning of the show here was a result of a telephone repairman going in and testing some new lines that he was installing. And he grounded out our lines and took us off the air. Or took me off the air.
What you need to do, Marco, and this is just a suggestion, right?
Kill
you
the
need
telephone
to go
repairman.
Walk the perimeter 20 minutes before the show, because we've been having problems like that over the last 6-7 months, and tell them if you see anybody, take a shotgun, take a 20 gauge with you, and say, look, stay the hell away from the building for the next hour and a half. What you do afterwards is your business, but while I'm here, meaning you, stay away. But you know what? I know exactly where you come from, good buddy. That's one. Hey, listen, one excuse is good as the other, but you know what the real one is? It's called Smirnoff.
Well, I'll tell you what. That little old Pac-Mel truck out there with those orange cones.
Of course it is. And it's got those little symbols with the two Russian guys.
I looked out my back office window over here, and I happened to see it. I happened to see it walking back and forth the truck, and said, now I know what happened.
I know the story, know it well. Been there on both reservations, many reservations, but they used to call it Biowater, my brother. Don't worry about it. We're on the air, and that's all that matters. Well, Bill Barnes, William Barnes from California, fill us in. Don't leave out anything. I'm enthralled. Tell me everything.
Well, everything's going fairly well, I guess. Dual airship, not balloons, concept. And we're doing funding right now for the last 60 days, trying to get it off the ground, and the camera system is out of this world. And even CO2 recognition we're using, too. So it should be very, quite interesting trip for a year once we get it off the ground.
How you doing with your financing?
Slow, but we got some very interesting people. People are interested, very interested, even all the way from Russia.
Yeah, you know what you need to do? And put that little disclaimer on top. Bullshit walks and money talks.
That's right. That's all we're waiting for.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about. Been through it, son. Many, many times, okay?
Well, I'm not worried about it. It'll come sooner or later. The concept will work, so I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret over it.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, as long as you've got many mucho dollars, mucho dinero to hang in there. And, you know, the one thing that I praise you for, I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you, Bill, if I can call you that, is you've got the tenacity and the fortitude, and you've had a dream, and you're making your dream come true. That means more to me than anything, my friend.
Well, I hope I make everybody's dream come true just to see it. So it's not just me. It's for everybody out there. And also, I got two good people working for me, Jason Washington and William in Virginia, Virginia Bigfoot Research and Sasquatch Research.net, and these guys are some great people to work with.
Who's the guy in Virginia?
His name's William Dragnus. He makes the trail cams. I got you cams.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think I know that guy. Is he the
I know. He's the what?
The ex-cop?
No. This guy works... go ahead.
Did he work for the government?
Yes.
I think I know that guy.
I'm sure you know him.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good. The key to this whole thing is, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something. Here this man had a vision. Here this, meaning you, Bill Barnes. Here this man had an inclination of making something happen. Nothing got him down. And here we've gone through one of the biggest financial glitches in history, ladies and gentlemen. And it didn't deter him at all, did it? It didn't deter you, did it, Bill?
Nope, not yet. 10 months now.
10 months. Look at that. And 37 years later, or 40 years later, I'm still kicking, my brother. Me too.
Oh, I can't give up on this project because it's something that will work, you know.
Okay, well, why don't, you know, there's a lot of investors out there listening to this program. Why don't you do a selling job right now and tell them what this thing is actually all about and what it can do? You got the floor, son. Do it.
Okay. Well, the airship itself is a filming platform never made before. Dual airship, 35 foot. No propellers. It's all propulsion. Really, it's a new concept going on in the market any day now, it looks like. And we are having it custom made to do the job that we need at nighttime. And this thing will go up to 7,000 feet, so we can go pretty high up in the mountains to film. And hopefully we can find one and follow as long as possible. Our goal is 45 minutes of filming. We're not going to show nothing to the public until we hit at least close to our goal or until a year is up. And we're going to spend 7 days, 24/7 out there, just like the website, Bigfoot247.com. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to stay out there and just do the job.
You know, I praise you, but I've got a couple of questions, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Okay. You say this thing can go up to 7,000 feet.
Yep.
Okay, and you're using some kind of new infrared flare-type
yep.
device?
No flare.
Okay, so tell me the premise of your infrared. Why is it so different than what's on the market today?
FLIR can't even touch this. It's come out of Europe. It's made by Thermal Techniques out of Europe. It's William in Virginia, he's a FLIR 1 tech. He said this is twice as good as anything you can buy from FLIR. So it's a great camera, it's up there. And lenses are great, from 60 millimeter wide lens while searching all the way to 180 to look at like a microscope. I can see it a quarter mile away, no problem. At 180, I can stand right next to you almost.
No, but my question, Bill, is this. If you're up on this platform way up above and you've got tree foliage underneath, okay, dense tree foliage, okay, and I know the premises of FLIR, I know the premises of infrared, but can it see through rock?
Here's what most people misunderstand. The reason we want to be so high up in the air is that after about 1,500 foot to 2,000 feet off the ground, above the trees, we're going to look down in between the trees, especially the pine trees up here in the northwest. And during the winter, we'll be out east where the fall leaves are gone so we can see down into the ground more easily. So we're going to work the seasons all the way from California to Florida, up the coast, maybe even up to New York if we can get up there. And then back to California, Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia. And we're not flying the treetops. A lot of people misunderstand what we're doing. We're going to be way up in the air. We're going to be looking straight down in between the trees. And also we're going to use CO2 recognition. That way if you're breathing, we're going to see you. And it's pretty interesting technology.
I praise you one more time, but you're not answering my question. And my question being is this. Do you know anything of the makeup of these creatures? Have you ever actually seen one yourself?
I had one 3 feet away from me one night. That's what started the whole project from 1997.
Okay, great. So then you're going to know what I'm going to talk about here in the next few seconds. When these things decide to move, they move with jet lightning speed. Trust me.
Well, I've got 45 miles an hour on my airship, top speed, so, you know, they can go up any hill they want or any direction.
Is this thing flying remote?
Yep, all remote controlled.
So it's all remote controlled, so, but still it's being manned by a human being's hands. Is that correct?
Two different people, one for the camera system, one for the airship.
And that's my whole point. So are you, or do you think, have you tested it out, you know, from different heights now?
Bill's renting a helicopter to show the difference between FLIR and the camera we're using.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to post it on the website, the difference. So that should be coming, like, really soon, next couple of weeks.
Well, you know what? I wish you all the luck in the world. You know, I got to tell you a story. I'm just going to relate what's happened to me. That's the only thing I can tell you. And some of my guys that are on there right now will verify what I'm going to say. I have a hard enough time when I'm on the ground using infrared and knowing how quick these creatures travel. Those who've been in the field with me know what I'm talking about. And to see how they hide behind trees, behind rocks, behind foliage, it's amazing. And it's with the rate of speed in terrain that takes us a lot longer than these creatures, I'm anxious to beat hell to see what really happens with your maiden voyage. Where is it going to be and when is it going to be?
Well, we're going to try Willow Creek, and as soon as the concept is done, he's working on the undercarriage right now, and everything else is done, the filming platform, the gyro, the airships won't take too long to build. It's aerodynamic, and it's made for wind up to 25 miles an hour, and this way we can fly more nights. And, you know, you say these things run fast, of course they do, but if you're 2,000 feet up in the air, I don't have to move that camera that much to keep up with it, and also with the speed of the airship itself. I don't have to make a full circle. It has no propellers. I can turn it on a dime. It's a really unique concept, new on the market. And it's one of the best things I've seen in 13 years that you could film from.
No, I understand the concept, but the thing that, I don't know if you guys have put into the quotation yet, what happens if there's a deer or a bear or an elk or a mountain lion that's moving at the same time? Does this thing work on motion?
Well, William is, like I said, number one FLIR technician. And there are ways to fix these. Even the ones you guys use has the same system that if there is a deer, it's going to show up a different color. And William knows how to do this, which not too many people know, which is strange to me. And, you know, if you've seen a bear before on a thermal image, this thing will have a different color for a bear, even a different color for a person. It's you can call William and ask him at Virginia Bigfoot Research. He'll explain it to you. All FLIR cameras have it, and almost all thermal imaging cameras have it. And they're tunable.
Yeah, no. I understand how they work. I know the premise. We have one, you know. And
I understand, but most people in this research business don't use what William uses on it. When I talked to him, he thought it was kind of strange. A lot of people didn't know about it on the thermal cameras. It'll show, like a deer will show up a different color on the head and a different color on the back and the side. I've seen the different footage. He shows how it works, and it's pretty neat, which I didn't know about. If it wasn't for William, I wouldn't have known about it. So we have a lot of things that we're fine-tuning down that, you know, if it does run off and I can't keep up with it, you know what? That's okay. Maybe the next one I will. We have to learn what we're doing while we're out there. And then, you know, we don't even know how far we can get up to these things, how close, I mean. And, you know, it's going to be trial and test. You know, if they're used to things flying over for the last 100 years, they might be used to this and not get real too startled. So,
that's what prototype's all about, William. Trial and error, and we're all, our prayers go out to you, and we hope to God that you make it all happen. When you're ready for your maiden voyage, give me a call. If I'm free, I'd like to come along.
That'll be in Humboldt County, Willow Creek.
Well, you know, if you want a better chance, when you're ready to go, let me know. I'll give you an area that I know that's a lot hotter than Humboldt County right now.
Well, no, just for a maiden voyage. I got places around here where I live that are busy every year. I get emails all the time now from the county I live in and also Sierra County. It's just unbelievable. One place, and I'm not going to say the name of the place. Everybody will be up there. But every year, these things come through. Every year, there's sightings.
No, I got to tell you a story, Bill. That premise of announcing it on the air and thinking that it's going to be a carnival, wrong.
Not a carnival.
Wrong.
It's a very small community. It's,
okay, well, I don't care about how big the community is. What I'm trying to tell you is this. I've been doing this a long time, and three-quarters, nine-tenths of all the people are bullshit artists in this industry. And they all said, "Oh no, I'm not going to mention the area because all the Bigfoot hunters are going to come out." Do you know how many Bigfoot hunters there are that actually go out into the field, Bill?
Very few.
You hit it right on the head, son. Proud of you, Bill. It's always a joy to have you on. I can't wait till it happens. Get a hold of Marco, Bill, and we'll be out there ourselves to join you. How's that?
I'm sure you will, and have a pleasure to have you guys out there.
God bless you, man. Just mute yourself out. We still got a lot more show, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Gentlemen, just heard from William Barnes. This guy's got a hell of a thing going. I can't wait until it's up in the air and it starts to work, and we'll be there and let you know if it did or not. And without any further ado, let's get out there to see my buddy Jan Allen. I heard he's got some action going on down there in Georgia. Jan, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom.
What do you think of all these new convoluting stuff things that's going on in this world today with this new machinery?
Man, I tell you what, it'd blow your mind, won't it? I'm like you. I'm sitting on pins and needles. I want to see how it comes out.
Well, you know, you and I have been doing this a long time, Dan, and you know how what it's like when you're out there in the brush under the canopy of darkness and these trees and mountains and everything else, and we're trying to traverse it just to keep our feet flat on the ground, and these creatures come upon us, and next thing you know, they're here, and then they're gone. And it just blows my mind that there's new equipment, new devices out there that could track them and stay with them.
Yeah. I know I can't. I can't either. I'm kind of fast, but I'm not that fast.
You know, my guys that are on the line right now, you know, they've encountered the damn things and when we were out there. And my gosh, they couldn't, these things move so damn fast. And we've got some footage of the one in the ravine up there in Texas. And two guys were trying to run this thing down, and they couldn't come near it. And that's
not
why I'm really waiting to see how this thing would work or not, you know. So tell me what
you
on your neck of the woods, huh?
Well, we're starting to pick up some. We've got some activity going on up above Cummings. We got a big expedition coming up the 1st of October. Actually, when you was talking about a second ago about the them moving so fast and trying to chase them, I had went out. Well, I still got my buddy here. I call him a buddy. I call him Sly because he's Sly. But he keeps unplugging my light on me, and he unplugged it Friday when we wasn't here. And Saturday, my wife Brenda went up to the back of the yard. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and she come back, and she's like, "Man, it stinks up there." And I didn't go up there, of course, but I guess about 3 hours later, right before dusk, I walked up there and was standing up there. I was looking down toward the ravine, and all of a sudden, a rock hits a tree right behind me. I mean, a big, loud thud, and then it hit the ground. And I heard something. It sounded like it took about three steps up on the hill. And Tom, I never saw anything. He jetted, or he went into he went into incognito mode because he wasn't there for me to see.
You know, I got to tell you, and thank you for you know, and this wasn't solicited, ladies and gentlemen. You just heard this came out of his own mouth, his own story. And that's the point I'm trying to bring out, ladies and gentlemen. These things are so damn swift, so fast, that it'll blow your mind. Remember, it's a primate. Have you ever seen Jane Goodall with the silverbacks and watch those things move through the brush? They're quicker than hell. And especially depending on the area that he's talking about right now, where Jan's talking about, you know, they're a lot less muscular than the ones in the Pacific Northwest. They're more lankier, okay? We've got videos of these things. And when you see them go down these ravines and climb trees and stuff, it'll blow your mind. And you know, I just, you know what I think it is, Jan? I think it's just pure ignorance, and I mean that not in a bad way. People just don't know.
Oh, I agree with you. Well, you know, right now I think I have a second one here. And I don't know if I discussed it with you. I know I did with Alex on the show, but down in the ravine below the house, yeah, I've been going down there for the last year because I found the tracks and pulled that 15-inch track down there. And I've got two trees down in the ravine on each side of the ravine. They're about 12 foot apart. But one tree is pushed over, not to the ground, but pushed over to about a 75-degree angle, pointing toward the back of the ravine. And then the tree across from it, I mean directly across from it, is pushed across the ravine, and it's crisscrossing above the ravine. And I'm finding, now I'm finding a lot more longer limbs and stuff down there, but they haven't been put to it yet. But I'm thinking that it's a territorial marking. And the reason I say that, too, is, one, you know, it's like my case manager said to me the other night. He said, if this thing's been here for a year, why is he all of a sudden throwing a rock at you? And he said, I think you got a second one. Well, Saturday night, my German Shepherd that I got, we use her for tracking in the team sometimes, and she does good. She's 2 years old. She's been trained. But she was out, you know, outside Saturday night about 1:30, and I know you know what I'm talking about, but if you ever heard of German Shepherd, when they go to attack, they make this distinct sound. It's a combination of a rapid bark, a snarling, and a growl all at the same time. And
when their upper lip goes up.
Do I now?
I said, look out when their upper lip goes up and they show teeth.
Oh, yeah, it's over. It's over at that point. And she went, I mean, just totally stupid out there. And I've never heard her do it before. And me and Rinda both came up out of the chair at the same time and ran to the side window, you know, on the house. And she was trying, we got an 8-foot fence out there, and she was trying her best to get through that fence. I mean, she was raising mortal hell. And we heard something move away, but I know it wasn't a deer. It wasn't a hopping sound. It was more or less like a real quick walk sound. And it only lasted for a few seconds and didn't hear it no more. And after that, she calmed down. And I'm thinking that it was, she's used to that one that's been coming around here for the last year. I think she knows its scent. She stays out of the way of it. She stays in the side yard now and not in the back where the light is. And I think she picked up a different scent. And she just went stupid. So, yeah, I think I got that going on now with the second one. And it's going to be... Kobe needs to know when I sit in one night and hear a big fight going on out back, and it's possible. You know, if these two go to duking it out on who's going to dominate, you know, this territory, that could be pretty wild.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like to be there and document that. That's for damn. You know, yeah, I got to tell you something, Jan. We're coming up on our fourth year anniversary a week from tonight. I think you're going to be a big contributor to our show. We're going to do a two-hour with God willing, the creek don't rise. And as long as Mrs. Marco Bill or whoever woman he's with this week.
They got to keep him away from the bottle.
I know.
And all that time, I thought he just needed to take a nap.
No, it's not that, man. He likes the juice of the grape, or he likes the harder stuff, depending on what day of the week it is, you know.
Well, you know, Alex is kind of the same way. He takes that nap, too, so.
Yeah, he is. Alex is a great guy. Anyhow,
yeah, he is.
I'm going to make a big announcement next week to the world. Get ready. Lee Joyner, my other son out there in Texas, this man knows the story, and he said it so well on the in the chat room. Look out, world, here comes the real Bigfoot hunter, him and his guys. I'm going to make that announcement, and I'm coming to see you real quick because we're starting off in the southeast area. We're going to be going down there on the borderline of Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. That's going to be our first rendezvous, and I hope that you're going to be ready to come out with us.
We'll be sitting here with bells on.
Okay, son. Well, listen, you take care of yourself. Good hearing you. Just mute yourself out. We're going to go back to Arizona and talk with Alex and Mitch and see what else is going on that away. Okay?
Two minutes.
I've got 2 minutes to talk to my brother and out there.
No, we got 2 minutes to close the show.
Well, you go get another snip. How you doing, Alex?
He's on her.
Did you hear Marco? Marco's he wanted to close the thing. He must be called. It was it called last call? Is that what they say in the bars? So fill me in. What any action besides what happened that you were telling us?
It's going to stop streaming here in 1 minute.
Okay. Well, give us a 30-second version, will you, Alex?
Well, we did get a report from our base camp that somebody had a rock throwing incident and some calling, and something walking around their tent. That came in from Oregon Bigfoot Hunter.
Okay, good. Listen, I love you all. Get ready for one hellacious announcement next week and our two-hour fourth anniversary, ladies and gentlemen. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations from the Bigfoot Hunter.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boswell.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured this.
The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
What creature lives?
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, mystery, legendary.